Well, we're continuing a thread that we began this fall here on the program, the war on freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is really essential to a free society. Welcome back to Steel on Steel. John Loeffler here with you. I want to go back to a story back in January of this year. Moderators on the link sharing and discussion site Reddit deleted dozens of links and comments about immigrant gang violence and sexual assault in Cologne, Germany, in an apparent attempt to clamp down on what they called vileness, end quote. Now, you have to remember, back on New Year's Eve, Silvesterabend, as it's called in Germany, they had over 1,000 sexual assaults, most of them in Cologne, but also other cities, as well as other countries of Europe, perpetrated largely by Islamic immigrants upon German women. It took 3 days for the German media to wake up. Well, they were awake. They knew what had happened. They just squelched it. But the moderators on this site kept clamping down on it. Users made dozens of attempts to post links to the story, where they were promptly deleted by moderators. And it was only when German Chancellor Angela Merkel commented on the attacks that one news link was allowed to be posted. But comment from the German head of government made it impossible for the moderators to deny the story's relevance to world news. And even then, user comments underneath the news story were facing a huge amount of censorship. Now, what has happened in the West, and it's been marvelous ever since the introduction of the internet and talk radio and podcasts, where you can hear things from around the world, has been this robust freedom of speech. Especially many of the items that we're even debating today in the political process have been kept alive due to the free speech on the internet, when the mainline media that we had been accustomed to hearing for decades were spiking stories or spinning things in a different direction. The politicos have awakened to this fact, and they need to stop it. They need to stop freedom of speech and this information flow. It's interrupting their plans. And so they're doing it, in many cases, on the allegation of hate speech. This is what I call an attack of the comma butts. Yes, we believe in free speech, comma, but not hate speech. And then hate speech rapidly becomes defined as anything which goes against their political agenda. And now we are talking about turning control of internet domain names over to ICANN. And I've talked about this in the last few weeks here on the show. I'm going to keep pounding on this because, to me, this represents one of the main threats to freedom of speech that we face today. I have to laugh whenever I think about the United Nations Human Rights Commission and look at the thug countries which are on it. Anyway, Kevin Freeman is founder and CEO of Freeman Global Holdings, which is an investment advisory firm, and is considered one of the world's leading experts on economic warfare and financial terrorism, and a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy, and he also contributes to the Counterterrorist magazine. What are we proposing on doing? Let's frame it one more time for the American people. In other words, when you type in a domain name on the internet, that domain name then goes to a DNS, a domain name server, where the real internet address consisting of strictly numbers is found, and then you're routed around. So we're talking about turning over that type of thing. But you can see very quickly, given what we know about the global elites, how quickly that would turn into censorship. That's my fear right now. Go ahead and take it, Kevin.
Yeah, essentially, there is a permission from our government, which controls globally the internet. We invented it, given to an organization called the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, which is ICANN. It's a nonprofit organization. And it is essentially a monopoly operated under the provision of the United States government that as of September 30th / October 1st, the Obama administration intends to make a completely independent entity no longer under the jurisdiction or control of the U.S. government. It is a property of the U.S. government, the contract that we have with them that gave them permission, but we're essentially going to give them that control and let them go.
Okay, well, theoretically, that wouldn't be too big a deal. Unless, of course, they begin to say, well, we're only going to permit certain types of sites that meet our community standards or something like that. That's where you see this thing getting clogged.
Well, yeah, the problem with it is that if they're set loose, they're a monopoly without government control. So who will they be beholden to? Will they operate always forevermore in the interest of the global public? Will they operate in their personal business interest, which is very likely, or will they operate under the provision or proviso of a foreign government or perhaps the United Nations, which is ultimately where most people think that they would end up? regardless, we have been guaranteeing a free and open internet since we created it, and this changes that. And it changes it for no good reason and with great peril.
So far, what's the amount of resistance building to this? Because I know the president had intended to do this by the end of September.
There is resistance in Congress. No asset of the United States should be disposed of without the permission of Congress. That's just the way our government operates. Having the contract here, we essentially, the government, had ownership of the naming rights. We vested that power in a corporation that had a contract with us that was a perpetual contract. And we're talking about then removing that contract, which is an enormously valuable asset. I mean, if we were to auction it off in the world, it would be worth an absolute fortune. Can you imagine what company wouldn't want to have control over whether a domain name was assigned or not assigned, or whether when you typed in something, it pointed to where you thought it was going to point or not? The potential for mischief is enormous. And admittedly, without a plan, the Obama administration says, well, we'll just let you operate as an independent entity.
Yeah, but there's no oversight. I mean, the Federal Reserve theoretically operates as an independent entity, but at least the Fed chair has to go to Congress several times a year and tell them what she's up to.
There is no plan for oversight that I'm aware of. Perhaps there's some secret plan, but I can tell you secret planning. This was reported in the Wall Street Journal. I'll read a quote. In secret planning discussions last year leaked to me, the writer of the article, the Russian representative told other authoritarian governments that full government control over internet stakeholders is a topic that needs to be further examined only after the U.S. withdraws, creating a vacuum of power.
So we have to get out before we are told what we're getting into. Sounds like Obamacare.
Yeah, exactly.
Why is it you and I can spot the problems right away, and then you say, well, why are they doing this? The only thing I can say, you know, we were warned by one of the FCC commissioners a couple of weeks ago, the war on freedom of speech is on. You know, I remember 1994 was the first election here in this country when all of a sudden the impact of talk radio was felt. And then the newspapers, remember, didn't start till about 1995, 1997, being carried on the internet, and then grew rapidly over a decade. And that was where you began to see the next political impact, especially the Monica Lewinsky story. Now they're aware of the fact that many of the things that their lapdogs would not have presented in the mainline media that are just robust on the internet. It's how we know about them, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely. Can you imagine the September 11th circumstance? Secretary Clinton collapses getting into her van, and if it were not for internet reporting or modern technology such as cell phone cameras, that would have been completely covered up. And how do we know that? Because we know that it was completely covered up when FDR was as ill as he was, and completely covered up when Woodrow Wilson was ill. We know that those cover-ups took place, and basically the people surrounding the president pretended like there was nothing wrong. And so that would have happened except for the internet and outlets like Drudge Report and outlets that put out the cell phone footage.
Well, you know, you're right, because during the FDR administration, the Secret Service would confiscate the film of uppity reporters who got the wrong photos. I'm not sure by what authority, but they did it.
Oh, of course. Now, this is what makes it so chilling. We know that George Soros's Open Society, I'm reading a quote here from Daily Caller, internal proposed strategy from George Soros Open Society Justice Initiative calls for international regulation of private actors' decisions on what information is taken off the internet and what may remain. Those regulations, the documents note, should favor those most supportive of open society. If you had control of the domain name registration, you just cancel it. It's like canceling a Facebook account. And we all argue on the conservative side. We say, you know, Facebook is a private business. If they want to ruin their private business by canceling accounts or dropping Twitter accounts and so forth, in the long run, the market will punish them for that. The problem with that thinking, if you apply it to ICANN, is ICANN is the internet. They can determine what is and what is not available on the internet just from their domain name registration capabilities. This is the single most significant political decision made this year, perhaps even including the choice of American president.
Yeah, no, you're right. And usually if George Soros says it, if he talks about an open society, just invert the meaning of the words and you know what he's up to. So options for action, what would you say? Call Congress?
Well, Congress can make the decision. And in fact, I have signed a letter which is put out by Conservative Action Project. We bought it, we paid for it, we built it, and we intend to keep it, which is Reagan talking about the Panama Canal in 1976. We took that same approach, and interestingly, Ed Meese, who was Reagan's attorney general, was the first signature on it. Becky Norton Dunlop from the Conservative Action Project and former White House advisor and at the Heritage Foundation, Bob McEwen, Diana Bannister, Bill Walton, a bunch of people signed this, and I was among the signers of this document, urging that Ted Cruz's legislation on protecting the control of the internet be passed. It really is up to Congress at this point, and Congress will act based on what they perceive the pressure they get from the public.
The real question then, who retains physical control over it? Does ICANN do that currently? And could that be revoked and pulled back from them?
Well, at this point, it could. Absolutely. ICANN does maintain that, but they're strictly controlled and subject to congressional control on whatever they do. So if they started to demand that domain names disappear that they found objectionable, you know, keep in mind, this is in the context of the current front runner in the presidential race has declared that one quarter of Americans are deplorable. Because approximately half of Americans are supporting Mr. Trump for the White House, let's say 45%, which means 22.5% of Americans, by her words, are deplorable, which means their speech should not count. That's code word. This is hate speech. This is the same woman who wanted to have a video pulled down off of YouTube with the claim that it had caused the Benghazi tragedy. We have to worry very carefully about whether or not we're willing to give away from Congress, representing the people, control over the internet, because it will go to the elitists, and if it goes to the United Nations, there could be all sorts of Sharia-imposed speech controls. The same president who said the future must not belong to anyone who slanders the prophet of Islam is the one wanting to give away control of the internet, and that scares me.
They can't let this one fly because there's too much information flowing out there. They've got to kill it.
You're very unique in that you're actually covering this. There is so little media coverage on this significant topic. This thing is being done in the darkness.
Now that you mention it, maybe that is the core of the whole thing, is that it's happening so fast. And if we go back and remember Obamacare was just rushed through, which is what created all of the panic. It panicked businesses so they didn't hire for 24 months. Right in a time when we needed jobs being created, they didn't know what was happening and what was going to happen and what loads were going to be thrown on them. And then you had all of these promises and counter-promises and claims and counterclaims and ridicules of that. And it turned out that most of the promises that were made to us are turning out to be false. We all rushed it through and everybody didn't have a chance to have input, and that was the goal. And it seems like we may be doing the same thing here. Kevin Freeman's my guest, founder and CEO of Freeman Global Holdings, an investment advisory firm. He's also author of Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. We're at steelonsteel.com. I'm John Leffler. The program is Steel on Steel.
This is Brad at steelonsteel.com. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I know how you can get your Steel on Steel subscription totally free. Tell your friends to use the STEEL25 promo code to get 25% off of their subscription. And when they use your name in the referred by current member box, you get a month free. All of the details can be found at our website, steelonsteel.com, or give me a call, 1-800-829-5646, or members at steelonsteel.com. Refer a friend today at steelonsteel.com.
Free speech, you got to love it. Everybody gets to talk about things that are important. Some people are irresponsible and foolish. Other people do it seriously. But either way, and even hate speech has to be preserved as a form of speech, because the moment you try to regulate it, then it's just a question of who gets to speak and who doesn't get to speak. And it won't stop because everybody will be trying to shut up their political adversaries. And I think we're going to cover this from week to week as we go through September here, not in depth, but we're talking about relinquishing U.S. control totally to ICANN. ICANN's defending itself on its own webpages. Welcome back to Steel on Steel. John Loeffler here with you. And, of course, the worry is censorship. Could it ultimately result in that if all of these other countries get their hands in it some way or another as, quote, stakeholders, end quote? One of the lessons we have learned over the past week that became blatantly obvious is, number one, not only media bias, which is now flamingly out in the open and there for all to see, but that when it came to the issue of Mrs. Clinton's health, it was constantly being spiked by the media supporting her. And there was a problem. Not that it's a long-term problem. If it's just pneumonia, I hope she gets better. But in this case, the one lesson to take away from this is that the media were not telling us the truth. Not that they were lying. They just weren't giving us all of the facts.
No doubt. In fact, I had this conversation with my daughters last night. Number one, the media was lying to us about whether or not she was ill or not. But that's not the only medical lie that's recently been exposed. We were lied to about sugar versus fat. Now, that happened in 1973, but it's only now coming out in the media that these three Harvard researchers were paid money by the sugar industry to say fat was the problem, not sugar, and we changed the entire nature of how we eat and what we eat based on that. We've gotten fatter since with a low-fat diet, and sugar was the culprit, but they were paid not to discuss the problems of sugar.
Yep.
And the third one was the Gardasil. The lead researcher, clinical trial expert on Gardasil, admitted in June that it was a lie, that girls under age 15 were not tested, that the risks of the vaccine perhaps are greater than the risks of the cervical cancer that might result, that there are other means and mechanisms, and she had to just, quote, come clean. Well, in all three of those health-related issues, we see that public policy was dictated by lies, including we had to fight Governor Perry here in Texas, which we did. He was going to mandate Gardasil, and I have two daughters, and we fought him tooth and nail, and praise God, we got to David Barton, who got to him and said, back off, buddy, because you will lose your base. And we forced him to back off and not mandate that.
I remember that fight. And my whole argument is, what a person puts in their own body, isn't that their business?
No doubt.
Rather than forcing them to do this.
Mandated by government. Now, apply those three lessons to the idea of global warming. All public policy is dictated based on a falsehood
right.
in global warming. And all public policy in sugar consumption, I mean, the head researcher went on to be the head of the Agriculture Commission, the USDA, that determined what the food pyramid was, what school lunches would be. There are a bunch of fat people that ought to be suing the federal government because that guy took a bribe from the sugar industry to say fat was the problem. And so we adjusted school lunches and everything else. And all Michelle Obama's efforts have also been based on potential lies in terms of school lunches. This is a government intruding beyond its constitutional boundaries, and it's doing so based on lies that have been foisted on the American people.
And the global warming is the big one because, if you recall, you go back to the UNCED conference, United Nations Conference on Environment Development. Up until 1992, they'd been trying to find that one global crisis they could find that would unite everybody, let them impose global taxes, global regulation, in further of what they called global governance. And remember Al Gore's book, I call it Unbalanced Earth?
Yeah.
He buckshotted all this stuff. He just listed all the garbage, you know, so we would have a lot of angst. But he hadn't focused in on global warming. But right after the UNCED conference, global warming became the poster child. And all of the investment money went into doing global warming research. If your thing was to propose that maybe there wasn't a cause by mankind, you would not get funded. The only thing that got funded was someone who was going to show that it did and how. And that's because the politicos saw the outcome of that. You know, every time you kept asking, well, where's the smoking gun? Where's the really definitive studies that show us this? Oh, well, the majority of scientists believe that. Now, as soon as you hear that, the majority of so-and-so's believe, remember, the consensus is almost always wrong.
Well, the majority believed that fat was the cause of obesity, too. Couple that. Why hasn't global warming been crammed down the people's throat? Why don't they believe it? Because they have access to alternative sources of information, and that alternative source of information is about to be stripped away. That's the bottom line. For an extreme leftist that wants full government control, we solve the problem of co-opting all the scientific community by dollars and bribing them. Oh, but the public still doesn't believe it. Why? Because they're getting alternative sources of information from people that actually know something. Oh, we've got to cut that off. How do we cut that off? Oh, we've got to control the internet.
Right.
And that's what the open society statement's all about. We have to co-opt the American people's ability to access other information so that we can accomplish our mission. They have not yet on global warming.
I went down for my 50th class reunion in Southern California, and I talked to my family, and they're not bad people. Most of them are liberal. They're just clueless. And they're clueless because the media they're listening to doesn't tell them the truth.
Your family likely not, but I was at 2015 CPAC, and I was on a panel, and a young student came up that was obviously bussed in, and he was there to ask questions at the end. And so we started talking about global warming. That was his big thing. And they had prepared answers. Every time a response is put up by truth, then there's a prepared answer that's given to those people articulating that viewpoint, and they came back. And it just devolved, so we had to carry on a debate of maybe 25 minutes where I had to continue to shoot down falsehoods that had been foisted upon this young mind in order to protect the religion of global warming. And we finally did it, but he just got so vitriolically angry. They told me you'd say that! And so not only are the minds closed, but they're brainwashed.
The anger is what I call the boom response. You can always tell when you've hit it because you get that boom response. And ironically, I've seen this happen in church groups or things when you're sitting at a table and you say something. They go into this frenzy for about 3 minutes. You can literally punch the stopwatch and you might as well just be quiet for 3 minutes and take notes because they're going to contradict themselves half a dozen times. Now, once they run out of steam, then they tend to calm down. That's when you make your move. I've seen this over and over and over again.
Always 3 minutes. Well, he actually was very well educated in his brainwashing in that he had a response to every response up until the last one. And so they had thought through, well, this is what the conservatives will say in response, and so we need to have a response to that. It was like a chess match. They'd gone six levels deep, and finally it broke, and that's when it broke into anger.
And that's it. My analogy is you're having a gunfight. You go bang, he goes bang. You go bang, he goes bang. You go bang, his goes click, click, click. He's out of ammo. The only thing now he can do is throw the gun at you.
Which is what he does, yeah.
The unfortunate problem is when you're trying to get to truth, realistic policy, you waste an incredible amount of time trying to, literally, I know the script. It's scripted. I can pre-write it ahead of time. And you just wait and you're sitting here, yawn. Would somebody get me a cup of coffee, please? This guy's running on. And then only then, after, like you said, it's 25 minutes has been my experience. You cut through all the garbage and the nonsense and the chaff and you put it to bed. Then you can have a serious conversation.
Yeah, people just don't have the time to do it. They don't, or you don't, or whatever. And so they just continue in ignorance.
So understand that a lot of times formally trained change agents do this. And the reason they do that, let me give you an example. You ask a question, and what they are trained to do, if they don't want to answer the question, they begin to talk, and they will go on for 3 minutes, 5 minutes. And what happens is that the people listening lose track of whether or not the question's actually being answered. And in reality, he's using many words, the formally trained change agent, masking the fact that he has not answered your question. That's a technique. It literally puts people to sleep. And if you ever notice, that's exactly what President Obama does and some of the other people in his administration, as I recall. And the question doesn't get answered, but it chews up time so they don't have to answer that question and a lot of other embarrassing questions that are coming in their direction. You know, if you and I were to sit down, Kevin, you'd say, okay, blah, 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 what are the facts? Okay, I think we should do this. And we'd probably agree on it. The reason we can't agree on it is the constant spinning out there. And the average person, like I said, my family, they don't have time to wade through this stuff. You know, if Jorge Ramos says it on SIN, it's debe ser la verdad, right? Because he said it. It must be the truth.
Yeah. Same thing with doctors. We believe everything the doctor tells us. We believe everything the study tells us, regardless of the source of the information. And it's so easy for us to look back and say, gosh, tobacco companies were funding some studies that said that tobacco was safe. Oh, how evil. Well, unless it's the left funding global warming studies with the purpose of taking control of, that's for the public good.
Kevin Freeman, founder and CEO of Freeman Global Holdings, websites you'd like listeners to know about.
GlobalEconomicWarfare.com.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. You know, Kevin mentioned anthropogenic global warming, which is going to get us into our next guest here with a different slice on everything. But there was a Washington Post editorial this week. Americans are burning record amounts of gasoline. The Energy Department announced August 31st that the country fueled up more this June than any other month the agency has measured, underscoring a finding last month that the United States is on track to set an annual gas consumption record in 2016. This was not supposed to happen. And then it goes on with fuel usage. And then it talks about global warming. And then it says, isn't this a time for a carbon tax. Now, I want to point out two things to you here. Number one, remember I predicted. I said when all the dust settles and the pachinko game ends and all of the marbles bounce out of the machine, it'll come down to a tax. After all the pious platitudes, it's down to a tax. Why? Because the theory is when you tax something, you get less of it. And the global elites, ever since the UNCED conference in 1992, have just been drooling over the potential of a global energy tax of sorts or a global financial tax, which they're working on very hard. But you have to understand the hypocrisy here because quite frequently in our economic speak by the politicos, they tell us that we get richer when we're taxed. And it's better for us because they can stimulate the economy, ignoring the fact that when you tax businesses, you destroy more jobs than you create. So on one hand, they're telling us we need to tax something so we get less of it. And on the other hand, they're telling us we need to tax you because you'll get more of it. Which one is it? Free speech, you got to love it, right? Yeah, but the free speech, we get to tell them which is right and which is wrong. You tax something, you get lots less of it. We're at steelonsteel.com. I'm John Lefter. The program is Steel on Steel.